Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for waiting, and welcome to the GTC 2013 results call. At this time, all lines are in listen-only mode until we conduct a question-and-answer session, at which point you can press star followed by one on your telephone. I would like to remind you all that today's call is being recorded on Thursday, the 20th of March, and I'd like to hand the call over to your first speaker for today, Margaret Czaplicka. Please begin your meeting, and I'll be standing by.
Hi, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's our pleasure to welcome you to our 2013 results conference call. Today with me are Alan Ikovic, our chairman of the management board, Erez Boniel, the member of the management board, as well as Mariusz Kozłowski, the member of the management board. We will conduct a short presentation for you. The materials are on the website, and then after the presentation, we will open for a question and answer session. I will pass the voice over to Mr. Alan Ikovic.
Good afternoon, everybody. I will first of all go through the highlights of the financial of 2013. In terms of operations, there is a substantial improvement, both in cash flow and in profit from operation. In terms of cash flow, we have increased our cash flow for 2012 from 16 million to 28 million in 2013. This is mainly because of a decrease in financial expenses of 19 million, a decrease in G&A of 2 million, and an improvement in NOI by 2 million like for like. In addition, another important thing that happened to us over the year, and even it continued a bit during this year, we reduced the debt, we deleveraged substantially, around 250 million euro in 2013. It's 18% lower than it was at the end of 2012. In addition, we improved the average interest rate, we improved the coverage ratio, and the debt maturity profile, which was extended by around 1 year. We already have the funds available for the repayment of the bonds in 2014 April. And this is because of the fact that we sold Galeria Kazimierz at the price 10% above book in December of 2013, and we generated 50 million euro of cash. We also increased capital in early January, and we raised another 50 million euro of debt, total raising of capital of 100 million early this year. This will bring down also our LTV ratio to 51%, which is where we want to be pretty much. In terms of revaluation, the story is not that great. We have a loss of 190 million for 2013, primarily 60% of which in Southeastern Europe. And most of the devaluations were actually incurred in assets for which we have even improved the performance over 2013. In terms of other operational results or events, we have started with the construction of Pascal in Krakow. It's a 5,500 square meter office building, part of the office complex we have in Corona, in Krakow. And we have also signed the first leases for both Warsaw malls that we have, that we are right now working on obtaining permits for. One of the big also results that we achieved this year was the fact that we managed to lease, basically extend the leases that we already have, existing leases, for 164,000 square meters throughout the group. It's a major achievement. We told you last year that we are focusing on it, and indeed we did. It's 31% better than in 2012. In terms of liquidity, we have no more an issue of liquidity because of the capital raise that we did this year, because of the sale of Galeria Kazimierz. We are ready to pay off the debt in April of this year, 100 million euro approximately. And our cash flow, as I mentioned to you, is very positive. So we do not expect any liquidity problem in the coming years. or at least into the near future. Last but not least, during 2014, we have seen a change in controlling shareholder. We had Cardan, who had financial pressure, and they were replaced by Lone Star, who bought this Cardan stake, and since then even increased their stake in GTC to 28.6 today. Lone Star, as you all know, is a major player in real estate worldwide. They have invested billions of euros throughout Europe, Asia, and America. They are just last week, we understand that they just bought a loan portfolio of 7 billion euro in the UK. Some of the assets securing the loan are even located in our region. So we expect to have synergy, and I will discuss it in a minute in more details. So all in all, if you compare the strategy that we had 3 years ago, when we established that strategy at the time, liquidity, efficiency, were two of the most important pillars of the strategy. And today we could look back and say liquidity has been resolved. In terms of efficiency areas, we talk about it more, but basically we have managed to improve substantially our efficiency, and that's why our operational profits are pretty good. And this includes overhead savings, cost savings, decrease in interest expenses, etc., etc. I would like to address our new strategy, which is now in the works. We are, since last year, I would say middle of 2012, when we saw that we were pretty much on the way to achieve most of our goals for the strategy that we established 3 years ago, we decided to focus on our new strategy, and we have come out today with the first draft, I would say. It's pretty solid, but it's still something that at the moment are only words, and we would like to show you in action that indeed this is our new strategy. So be a little bit patient, give us some time to demonstrate to you our new strategy. But basically, the strategy is summarized in our mission statement, which I will carefully read to you. Our mission is to create value from active management of a growing commercial real estate portfolio in CEE and SEE, supplemented by selected development activities, and enhance deal flow, mitigate risk, and optimize performance through our regional platform. I will try to explain what it means in more details. We have a portfolio of real estate assets throughout the region. We will actively manage this portfolio, meaning assets that are mature will be sold if we think we can achieve the right price. We will acquire new assets that we think will need improvement. These are what we call distressed assets. And we will implement our development skills into turning around those stressed assets with our management skills. This could be sometimes partial redevelopment, but mostly leasing and marketing, which we have been doing throughout the region, both in office and retail. In addition, we will selectively develop in countries and cities where we feel there is a strong demand. It is clear that one example is Warsaw, where we feel there is very strong demand for retail, and this is why we will continue to develop our two malls in Warsaw. We also feel that Belgrade is a very strong market for both office and retail, and we will probably, most probably, develop there as well. This is all doable because we have the platform throughout the region. It allows us to reach deal flows early on because we are local. It will mitigate the risks also because we are local. And we should optimize our performance in managing these assets because we are local as well. This mission, this strategy, which is a short and medium-term strategy, is based on the fact that the region has gone through difficult times, especially in real estate. GTC has learned through its own experience what the issues were. And basically, at the time, until the crisis in 2008, real estate was flying high. Prices for land and for property, completed property, were very, very high. And GTC decided to enter second-tier and third-tier cities in the region. Except for Poland, after the fact, we could say that it was a mistake. And therefore, we are not planning in our new strategy of acquisition and selective development to do any of these outside of capital cities, except for Poland, where we will also look at second-tier cities. Today, because of the economic situation and the oversupply of real estate in several capital cities, primarily outside Poland, we see opportunities in acquisitions because there is a lot of distressed property, and it would probably be cheaper and less risky for us to acquire those distressed properties and turn them around. The risks are very clear. The lower risks are very clear. You have an existing building. You don't have to go through construction risks. You have usually a partially let property, which is also less risky than the marketing risk we take when we develop from scratch. And this is what the strategy that we would like to implement in the coming years. As I said, this is just the beginning of our plan. We are telling you that with some hesitation. We want to make sure that we're doing it properly. It is clear that the fact that we have Lone Star as our controlling shareholder is critical for the success of the strategy. Lone Star is only doing acquisition of such type of properties throughout the region, throughout the world, not throughout the region. One of the reasons they acquired the controlling stake in GTC is to get into the region. However, Lone Star is looking at much larger transactions than GTC. Usually we're talking about billion euro transactions. As you may know, they just did such a transaction in the UK last week, 7 billion euro. GTC is more modest. We're looking at tens of millions of acquisitions. And we expect to begin this, as I said, this year. We already have a deal flow that we are looking at. We expect to begin this process this year. In order for us to succeed, the question is, where will you get the resources to do so? Well, first of all, as I told you, we don't have a liquidity problem today. We have extra cash to begin such a process, but probably not enough. So our plan is also to sell non-core assets. Non-core assets by us are today defined as being either land for residential or other assets located in regions that are of no interest anymore to GTC strategically. We mentioned it to you in previous meetings. These are assets in Ukraine, well, our land sites in Ukraine, in Russia, and all our residential land sites throughout the region in Romania, in Slovakia, Croatia, primarily. We also are looking to raise cash by selling assets that have matured and could be sold at what we believe is the proper price. An example would be Galeria Kazimierz in Krakow, the office part. It's a AAA building let to a AAA tenant. It's actually two tenants. We would sell it if we achieve the right price, and we think we can achieve the right price. Our strategy would also keep efficiency as a target. We will continue to become more efficient. Our plan this year is to continue to save on the cost side. It includes both overhead and interest expense. Clearly, a third pillar of the growth of the strategy, in addition to capital recycling in order to acquire new property and efficiency, is growth. And this will be done by development, acquisition, and through macroeconomic changes that we expect to see in the region over the next, over the short to medium term future. I would like now to hand over the microphone to my colleague Mariusz for a description of the market.
Good afternoon, everybody. I will start with office market in Poland. At the end of 2013, the total office stock, modern office stock in Poland reached 7 million square meters. Nearly 60% of it was located in Warsaw. Warsaw had a record year in terms of demand and supply. The total take-up in Warsaw last year was 630,000 square meters. However, part of it were negotiations, part of it were pre-let transactions. Therefore, despite relatively lower supply of 300,000 square meters, the vacancy rate continued to stay at relatively high level, 12%. The nominal prime rents in Warsaw last year were between 22 to 24 euros. Outside city center in non-central locations, it was 14. However, last year the most aggressive deals for large tenants reached effective rent of 10 euro. For this year, the new supply is estimated at around 320,000 square meters. Therefore, we're not expecting any major improvement in rental rates and vacancy rate. Outside Warsaw, the strongest markets were in Krakow and Wrocław. Traditionally, in large academic centers, the big occupiers are outsourcing and shared services companies. Altogether, they leased in the last year all over Poland 220,000 square meters, and today they hold 1.1 million square meters of modern office space. So they are a big player in this market. We have very good contacts with them. We're leasing to them. One of them is IBM in Krakow, another Hewlett-Packard in Wrocław. So we see them as a potential source of up to 50% of demand in certain regional markets. In Czech Republic, specifically in Prague, last year was rather slow supply. It reached 80,000 square meters, which was a decrease of 20% year on year. However, for next 2 years, this year and next year, we are expecting quite large development of around 300,000 square meters. Today, the vacancy rate is at the level of 13%. However, with such increased supply, this may increase. GTC was doing well in our offices. We managed to lease 3,000 square meters to Canon in Prague Marina and in Harfa Office Center next to our Harfa shopping mall. We leased to GTC Electronics, LG Electronics, Czech Hockey Association, and some undisclosed, as of now still, financial institutions. Financial institution, and we leased in Harfa a total of 6,500 square meters. I'm moving now to Hungary. In Budapest, the supply was really low. Only four buildings were delivered with this total area of 30,000 square meters. However, the demand was quite strong. The take-up was 400,000 square meters, which brought the vacancy rate significantly down to 19%. GTC was very successful in leasing in its existing office developments. In all three of them, we extended the leases with anchor tenants, specifically with the Budapest Bank in GTC Metro, with ExxonMobil in Centerpoint, and with Tax Office in Spira. So today, vacancy occupancy rate in our building is 95%. In Bucharest, we saw increased supply and demand as well. The supply was 120,000 square meters in 2013, while demand was much higher at the level of 270,000 square meters. There is still big difference between the stage of the markets, sub-markets in Bucharest. Central and Western markets enjoy big occupancy at around 90%, while the vacancy rate in northern part, in Pipera and Banesa, is reaching 35%, relatively high vacancy. Our building, Citygate, is holding very well with 95% occupancy, and the average lease term is between 4 to 5 years. In Serbia, that's a very attractive market from our point of view because there is not so much competition. Last year, there was only one building delivered with 5,000 square meters. The demand was 60,000 square meters, which brought the vacancy rate down to 11%. Just to remind you, 2 years ago, the vacancy rate was above 20%. So with this shallow market, any major lease can make a big change. We are on average more than 95% leased in our building. We managed to replace our anchor tenant in GTC House, Raiffeisen. They went to their own building, but we managed to replace them with new tenants. I will move now to retail market. In Poland, the area, the space of new shopping centers increased by 500,000 square meters. Warsaw is still the strongest market with virtually no vacancy, while outside Warsaw, the average vacancy is at level of 4%. We see several trends developing in the Polish market, which are worth mentioning. First of all, we see that there is limited room for development of mid-sized shopping center in secondary location. The potentially successful developments are large dominant shopping centers in prime locations, such as our projects in Warsaw, Wilanów and Białowieża, or smaller developments, 5 to 10,000 square meters, retail parks or convenience centers, which basically are covering the retail gap between the catchment area of big shopping centers. Another trend is the hypermarkets are suffering from the competition of large chains of a smaller format, such as Biedronka in Poland, which is developing outlets of 1,000 to 2,000 square meters. Therefore, we see the average size of a food store in the shopping center decreased. It used to be 10, 12,000 square meters. Nowadays, it's more of a 3 to 5,000 square meters. Simply, the food is not the main component. It's the shopping center is moving towards lifestyle. It's about specialty shopping, gourmet food, wine. It's about entertainment. It's about more restaurants, cafes. We also see the influence of e-commerce on the profile of shopping centers. There are some segments where people shop a lot in the internet, such as electronic store, and also the size is decreasing. We see that the tenants are very picky and taking very careful decisions about new expansion, about new locations. They analyze in very detailed manner future P&L of the shop. They estimate potential turnover they can generate, and they know what kind of rent level they can pay. On the other hand, key anchor fashion tenants are quite aggressive in their expectations in terms of rent. Usually it's a turnover, percentage term rent only, and about expectations, requirements for the fit-out contribution. Which makes for everybody new developments in retail relatively difficult. I'm moving now to Czech Republic. In Prague, there was slow beginning of the year. Unfortunately, end of the year was also not so great. Christmas season was affected by warm weather. The main event of Prague market was opening of Černý Most, which was a big extension of existing shopping center. After initial success, now it's not performing very well, mostly because of the general retail sales in Prague is not working well, and also because of increased saturation of the market. We are trying last year to stabilize the position of Galeria Harfa, which is strengthening because of increased number of events in O2 Arena, which is basically connected with our mall, with increased occupancy in our office building next to the shopping center, and also the new apartments, modern apartments, which are being built in the immediate vicinity, are increasing the purchasing power and the catchment, strengthening catchment area of Haifa. Romania. In Romania, most of the modern shopping centers are located in Bucharest. It's around one-third of total retail space in this country. There is still big gap between prime shopping centers and secondary centers located outside Bucharest. Evidently, the purchasing power is not great over there. However, we managed to turn around our smaller shopping center in Piatra Neamț. It's now bringing positive operational results. However, the other two, Buzău and Arad, were still struggling. In Arad, despite 25% growth in the turnover of our tenants, we still have difficulties in stabilizing the rental income and the tenant mix. In Croatia, Zagreb is obviously the biggest center for retail space. Unfortunately, it's saturated, and still there are new openings in Zagreb. This year we expect IKEA to open, as well Supernova, a retail park developed by Austrian Group, which is putting pressure on existing and on rents in existing shopping centers, including ours. We have very good results in terms of turnover and footfall in Avenue Mall Zagreb. It's fully let. However, there is continuous pressure on rents coming from the competition. Outside the capital city, the situation is mostly impacted by poor macroeconomics in Croatia, and we see it in our mall in Osijek, which is facing not only low local purchasing power, but strong competition from another mall. And there we're struggling to stabilize the tenant mix. We are working on replacing food store. We're introducing new entertainment facilities instead of cinema. Still, Avenue Mall Osijek is on the around break-even point, and despite the difficulties, is fighting the difficulties well. In Serbia, it's a very attractive market from the retail point of view, city of similar to the size of Warsaw. However, there is only 130,000 square meters of modern office space. This year, there was only one shopping mall delivered of 30,000 square meters. Basically, the vacancy is very small, it's around 3%. We are completing the acquisition of sites for our shopping mall Adam in Belgrade, and we are very positive about the prospects of retail market over there. Moving to Bulgaria, we're not present in capital city in Sofia. The market is very saturated. There is I think too many shopping centers. Recently, there was big shopping center Paradise open with almost 80,000 square meters. However, we achieved very good operational results in our two shopping malls, one in Stara Zagora and one in Burgas. As you remember, in Stara Zagora, we started with very difficult conditions. We were losing anchor tenants. Today, the tenant mix is stabilized, and we're improving results in terms of NOI. So that's about retail markets. Talking about investment market, last year we saw increase in the volume of transactions. It exceeded 6 billion euros, which was about 55% growth comparing to 2012. Obviously, Poland was the biggest recipient of the capital from investor and accounted for more than half of the transactions. The second place was held by Czech Republic. Around a quarter of transactions was done there. Rather smaller amounts in Hungary, Slovakia, and Romania, and very little transactions in Bulgaria, Serbia, and Croatia. In Poland, 90% of capital is coming from abroad, with the leading investors being German funds. The largest transaction was sale of Silesia Shopping Center last year for 412 million euro. In Warsaw, there was large transaction. Vola Park was sold for 200 million euro, and our Galeria Kazimierz in Krakow was also among the largest transactions. For this year, there are some large transactions in the pipeline, such as sale of Rondo One, which is a transaction of the value close to 300 million euro, sale of new shopping centers open in Poznań. We see that there is coming, that there is reappearing interest in office buildings in Mokotów when the rental rates reach low levels, and it seems to be stabilized now. Investors are looking again at the buildings which are being completed. So that's my summary, and I pass over to Erez, who will talk about financials.
Thank you. We will start with the portfolio overview. As in every quarter, we show the status of our real estate portfolio. Post the sale of Galeria Kazimierz and Platinum, Poland accounts for 39% of the value of income generating assets, and the investment out of Poland is accounting for 61%. The office portfolio, including land, accounts for 57% of the value versus the retail. We can see that what used to be the dominating sector now following the sale of Kazimierz is reduced. However, with the development of the two malls in Warsaw, the portfolio will return to its status pre the sale of Galeria Kazimierz. On the next slide, we talk about the portfolio valuation and lease length by sector. We would like to share with you the breakdown of the change in like-for-like values and lease duration. As can be seen, the office portfolio duration is around 3.5 years, while the retail is closer to 6 years. So the leases there are longer. And we can also see that the value decline in the shopping centers sector was stronger than in the office sector. Part of the reason could be because the rents are longer, and therefore any change has a bigger impact. In the following slide, we show the occupancy by sector. Here we can see that the occupancy is relatively high across the portfolio, which means that our products, if we can call them products, the office and the shopping center are attractive to our tenants. Nevertheless, in the retail sector, we registered declining occupancy primarily in Poland, Romania, and Croatia. In Poland, it's a matter of rollover. We're approaching the rollover time of Galeria Jurajska, and we are making efforts now to prolong the leases, stabilize the rent, and improve the long-term value. This is, of course, our part of our goals for improvement in 2014. On the next slide, we show the top properties. We have 7 properties that account altogether to approximately 50% of the portfolio of cash-generating assets. These seven properties enjoy high occupancy, stabilized rental income, and these are the anchor assets in our portfolio. We move ahead to the financial highlights. On the first slide of financial highlights, we list the parameters that indicate improvement in our operating business during 2013. The first parameter is the underlying profit before tax. In fact, this is the profit without considering the devaluation, which distorts the picture. It's not part of the normal operating activity. Without that, the underlying profit has been more than tripled during the last year. The cash flow from operating activities also has been increased by 50%, and these are two very strong indicators showing the trend of improvement that began in 2013, and we plan to continue them in 2014. The investment property declined as well, partially because of the devaluation, but also because we sold assets. Net debt was decreased as part of our overall deleveraging policy. The other parameters that are presented there are for your convenience, benchmarking based on EPRA's indicators. Basically, the deleveraging policy can be seen throughout our financial statements, and it provide us, number one, with a more balanced structure of balance sheet, safer, and shows that we reduce the exposure, the financial exposure to third parties. On the next slide, we show the reconciliation of the underlying profit before tax. I think we covered that. I provided the explanation, but once again, we can see the significant improvement and impact on the profit that resulted mostly from cost cutting, improvement of NOI, and financial cost savings. I now describe the balance sheet, the slide that relates to the balance sheet. First, let's review the investment property. Here, the investment property declined as a result of the sale of Galeria Kazimierz. That was around 82 million euro decline, or if you account the profit, it was 90 million decline, and the net devaluation of 167 million throughout the year. We invested 40 million primarily in the Białęka Shopping Center and the Ada, and in other projects such as Wilanów and Platinum 5 that we sold. The liquidity situation has tremendously improved through the issue of capital and bonds. This is not reflected yet in the balance sheet. This was done post-balance sheet date during the first quarter, but obviously, when examining the company, we have to take that into account. The sale of Kazimierz also contributed significant amount of cash, close to 50 million euro free cash. And here I can say that our long-term goals that were set 2-3 years ago, including the short-term one, were fulfilled through the hands-on management activity. Accordingly, also the bond repayment that is due next month is already secured, and we have funds to focus on the business development. Another item is the residential inventory. This is being gradually decreased, mostly through the sales in Constanța and Rose Garden in Bucharest. Regarding the Felicity project that is part of the inventory, we are working together with our lender on a detailed plan how to improve the situation and reduce the exposure. The other side of this inventory is a loan that is secured by the inventory. The loan is part of our short-term loans because it's due to mature during this year, and as mentioned, we are trying to develop a solution together with our lender. Long-term and short-term debt exposure is declining in all aspects. I will present more details on the next slide, but first, let's have a look at the devaluation breakdown. In terms of the devaluation, this time, as we've seen that market trends have not improved in 2013, we, together with our valuers, have changed certain valuation assumptions. We assume this time that the recovery will take longer time than initially assumed. Therefore, we adjusted the expected rental value downwards, and that's why the magnitude of this devaluation was larger than usually larger than expected. The devaluation was caused primarily by the decline of ERV, but also yield increase in some cases. NOI increased, as can be seen later on through the income statement, but the increase did not cover did not match the ERV decrease. So altogether, to sum up, we had write-downs. In terms of countries, Romania, Bulgaria, and Croatia suffered the most. They account altogether for 62% of the total devaluation. Poland office sector has also experienced rent softening and yield increase, however, not to a large extent. In terms of sectors, the retail sector suffered more than the office, as can be seen also on the right-hand chart. Regarding the debt and LTV, the situation here is following, actually, what we should focus on is the pro forma column, which takes into account the capital that was raised during Q1 2014. If we consider that, and following the capital raise, we are achieving 51% LTV. So the LTV is improving, and we set a goal to reach 50%. We are almost there. That's a comfortable level that allows us to continue the development and think about further investment, refinance, and leveraging to a limited extent. However, taking advantage of such leverage in order to enhance the IRR. The net debt slide shows also several indicators that demonstrate what we achieved during the year. Not only we decrease the exposure and the debt, but also we manage to postpone the debt maturity on average by 1 year, and at the same time decrease the interest rate from 5% to 4.3%. So This is usually these are usually complementary steps. One would expect that if the debt is longer, the interest will be higher. However, we managed to improve that, and the results of NOI improvement and interest rate decrease is reflected in the interest cover ratio. As you can see at the bottom of this slide, the increase is significant from 1.08 to 1.44. That give us, again, comfortable situation to continue with our activity, invest, and leverage accordingly. The debt maturity schedule has been improved. If we focus on the short term, meaning the next 12 months, we can see that we have to pay 102 million euro for repayment of the bonds. And as mentioned, the cash for that is already secured. Generally, I would say most of our debt is secured. Some of it, though, as a recourse to GTC, this is something that is a challenge for us, and we are trying to improve this situation. The short term includes also debt that has been classified as short term, but in Q1 it will be reclassified to long term, and I mean 16 million loan related to Spiral building. We have signed the refinance of Spiral. We have prolonged the loan, and this will be reflected in the consequent report. Generally, our amortization, normal annual amortization, accounts for about 40 million per year. And the rest of the debt is either under this discussion, as I mentioned, Felicity, 26 million, or already should be classified to long term, such as Spiral. I move ahead to the description of the income statement. Generally speaking, there is decline in the rental and service revenue due to the sale of assets. However, if we neutralize and we checked it on a like-for-like basis, the rental and service revenue are up by 1.6 million euro. Nevertheless, G&A expenses are significantly down. If we count it from 2010, the accumulative change is 52%. If we count just last year, we talk about 17%, and the trend is expected to continue, meaning the cost efficiency we're still trying to explore this cost efficiency. We cannot expect another 50% cut. However, we do expect to bring it to acceptable level, and this is part of our target for 2014. Financial expenses are down thanks to the deleveraging effect through the bonds and loans repayment, altogether over 200 million euro. We can see on the next slide the diagram showing what was the impact of the disposal, the like-for-like increase of 2 million and the result of 84 million in 2013. One thing to note is that on the challenging assets, the NOI improved in most of them, except one. We can see improve in Avenue Mall Osijek. This is one of our most challenging assets. We can see improve in Galeria Arad, although the result is still negative. It is less negative than it used to be. Galeria Piatra Nimet moved from a negative result to a positive one. Galeria Burgas almost doubled its income. And Galeria Stara Zagora also increased significantly, more than doubling. I move ahead to the cash flow highlights. The cash from operating activities amounted to 28 million versus 16 last year. This is thanks to the savings that we had and the improvement in NOI. So this increase is despite the fact that we sold Galeria Kazimiz. We have the net cash. The investment in real estate and activities was 30 million, and we adjusted the investment to the pace of raising cash, as well as the progress that was achieved in the design and development of the two malls. The net cash at the end of the year amounted to 130 million before the capital raising. And post-balance sheet date, as mentioned, we raised 100 million euro that will be repaid next month. That's it in terms of the financial presentation. We will be glad to take questions if you have. Operator?
Thanks, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question at this point, please press star 1 on your telephone. And to cancel your request, you can press the hash or pound key. Once again, that's star 1 to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel your request. There'll be short silence while participants register their questions. First question comes to the line of Jacob Cadamore. Please go ahead and announce in your company.
Hello. Thanks for the presentation and thanks for taking my question. Jakub Sadomov from Wood. First, you mentioned some kind of a synergy with basically portfolio that part of which licensee, which your new strategic holder acquired. So could you be more specific and elaborate this one, please?
You want to know whether there is a synergy between Lone Star and GTC, correct?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, based on the first part of the presentation where we described what our strategy will look like for the next short to medium term, we mentioned that we will get into acquisition of distressed properties, and I kind of described what distressed properties are. Lone Star is basically doing only that throughout the world, and they have acquired GTC in part to understand better Central and Eastern Europe as a region. So there will certainly be here a process where we will learn a lot from Lone Star. However, in terms of size of interest, Lone Star is dealing with billions, while GTC is dealing with tens of millions.
So right, I see. So I think I just misunderstood, because I thought that there could be some potential merger between some of Lone Star portfolios and GTC. So this is out of question.
Well, this is a question you should ask Lone Star, not us.
Good, sure. Thank you very much. I just needed to clarify this, because this, of course, would be kind of an important point. As you just spoke about the acquisition of the distressed properties, generally, I know that you can't specifically tell me what assets are you looking for, but generally, what kind of assets in terms of size? You spoke about tens of millions and asset class, and maybe could you be more specific and elaborate? Well, at what locations outside of Poland are you looking at them when you are seeing these kind of distress opportunities? And also, at what kind of yields would you be considering entering into such distressed assets?
Okay. First of all, the locations are capital cities in the region: Budapest, Prague, Bucharest, Belgrade. But Belgrade not as distressed. Belgrade more as development. So these are the main capitals. In terms of typical yields, it's a very difficult question, because for distressed asset there is a lot of variables. But assuming, and when we talk about distressed, it's not distressed to a point where you're talking about yields of 30%, neither. It's probably a typical deal would be a deal where you have a vacancy of 30 to 50%, and the yield will be north of 10 on the existing cash flow. So if we manage to lease up the balance of the vacant space, or basically the vacant space, we will be able to reach much higher yields for the project. And since it is usually leveraged, our returns on equity would be even higher, and probably in the 20s. Am I clear?
Yes, yes, that's clear. Thank you very much for the explanation. Then, regarding the disposals, do you still consider the sale of some office property outside of Poland, which you mentioned on the last conference call? And is there any other particular project that you are looking at, maybe of the larger ones?
At the beginning of the presentation, we mentioned that we don't have any liquidity pressure anymore, so we would sell projects only if we feel that existing generating cash flow project would be only sold if we feel that we have achieved a price that makes sense from GDC's perspective. GDC, from its beginning, has always sold assets once it felt there was no major upside ahead of it. And that's what we are planning to do here as well. We are going to look to sell buildings when we feel there is no more upside ahead of us, which is, you know, when you talk about the typical investors, long-term investors, if it's funds or others or insurance companies, they're looking at yields between 6 and 8% and sometimes 10% in certain regions, but we are not in that business of 6 to 8%. So for us, we would sell if this is all we believe that the asset could generate from our perspective.
Right, thanks. Then on the land bank, it accounts for some 270 million. Just to clarify, is there any debt on any of the land plots?
Very little.
Excuse me, there is not?
Very little. There is a few million here and there, but nothing substantial.
I see. And could you also remind me, please, what's the geographical spread of the land plots? I probably just haven't found it in the annual report.
I could give you some examples. We have site in Russia, St. Petersburg. We have a site in Ukraine, Odessa. Each are in the tens of millions of euro. I mean, between 10 and 20. We have a site in Croatia, Marlera, which is also a residential slash hotel. It's also in the high teens. We have a site in Slovakia in the teens as well, a residential site. We have a few sites in Hungary. From some of them are 5 to 10, and some of them are above 10. We have a site in Romania. We have a couple of sites in Romania, also low 10. Then we have some commercial sites in that we are planning to sell as well in Romania, outside of Bucharest. These are small sites in Serbia, outside of Belgrade, in Croatia, in Zagreb. And I think that's basically. There is also a big site in Budapest, Sheremi Gate, which we are not planning to develop in the near term, and this would be for sale. It's a big site. That basically summarizes the land bank that we have.
Right. How many of these land plots do already have some kind of a zoning or building permit?
Most of them.
Right. And
actually, GTC does not buy without zoning. Building permit is a different story, but zoning. There is one situation that we have now with Galeria Bucharest that we hope to resolve very soon, but all the other sites have zoning.
I see. All right, that's clear. And could you be a little bit more specific on the sales program? I mean, how much of the 270 million would you be planning to dispose? And could you give us some rough indicative time frame?
Yes. Our budget for this year is between 15 and 30 million of sales, land and mature project, as we call them, this year. And if you want to get to an idea of what kind of acquisitions we would look for, the size of acquisitions for this year, if we do manage to sell between 15 to 30 million, and if you assume that we have another 20 to 25 million of cash available for acquisition already today, and if you assume a leverage of 50% for these acquisitions, you can expect to see GTC acquire between 70 and 100 million euro this year, including leverage.
Okay, so basically it means that to dispose the whole land bank would take quite long. So basically 15 to 30 million, it isn't that much if it includes the major project, if I understood correctly.
That's correct, but we don't expect to sell all of the land bank, because some of the land bank has very good projects on it.
Sure, of course, yeah. And so the acquisitions with the 50% leverage, if the sales go as you plan, it would be between 70 and 100 million euro in total.
Correct.
Right, thanks. And just a general question, last one. I won't drag you on for long. We have seen a drop in NAV this year. What kind of NAV growth or NAV development?
Yeah, I've seen that in your report.
Right. So I'm just thinking, what kind of NAV growth do you pencil can be achievable in the midterm, and what would be the major drivers?
Well, I can tell you about the major drivers, but I'm not going to give you any guess on the NAV for the near term. The major drivers will be, well, first of all, macroeconomics, but there your guess is as good as ours. The second would be the developments that we are looking to do in Warsaw and in Belgrade. And the third, limited at this point, would be acquisitions.
All right. Cool. Thanks much. That's it for me, and thank you very much for the answers.
Thank you, sir. There are no further questions at this time, sir. I'll hand the conference back to you.
Thank you very much, everyone, and have a very good rest of the day. Goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes today's conference, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.